Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Coming up in the next few moments, we've got some great Bible teaching for you from the Sunday morning adult Bible class at Christian Apostolic Church, where I pastor. Before we get to that, we'll hear some great music from Phillips, Craig, and Dean. But first, let me tell you about a great book that is sure to be a wonderful blessing to you, The Life and Ministry of Billy and Shirley Cole. More people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost under the ministry of Billy Cole than any minister or preacher in the history of the church, dating all the way back to the book of the Acts of the Apostles in the Bible. This man's life was phenomenal. He's passed on to his reward now, but you can read about his life story, which was like something out of the book of Acts. Available in paperback or ebook, compatible with your PC, any mobile device, or any e-reader or e-ink device, such as Amazon Kindle, SciBook, or Iliad. You can order this great book online at billycolebook.com. That's www.billycolebook.com. And now enjoy Phillips, Craig, and Dean singing I Will Boast.
Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, or the strong man boast in his strength. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let the humble come and give thanks to the one who made us, the one.
I will.
All right, go with me now into the sanctuary of Christian Apostolic Church for our Sunday morning adult Bible class, in which we are concluding a study of the biblical character Noah. And in our character study of him, we're going to analyze several other Bible characters who have things in common with Noah. The title of this lesson is The Righteousness Which Is By Faith. All right, if you have your Bibles, and turn with us to Genesis. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 5, and the Bible says, "And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him." And now if you'll turn with me to the book of Hebrews, the passage that is called the Hall of Faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, the word of the Lord says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went." I'd like to draw your attention to the word inheritance in verse 8, and then show you the relation of that with verse 7, where it says that Noah, through faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. All right? He didn't earn it, but God accredited it to his account because of his faith. Amen. Brother T.F. Tenney, when he was at Brother Billy Cole's funeral, was going through a list of people, great people of faith in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, and telling what terrible sin they did. And I don't know if you've ever thought about that kind of thing, but he stood up at Brother Billy Cole's funeral, and by way of apology, and I mean that in the dictionary definition of the term, by way of apology, he explained Brother Cole's human weakness and frailty and tendency to do the wrong thing, while not diminishing from his great faith and the great things that he did for God, by comparing the life and ministry of Brother Billy Cole with the life and ministry of some of these great heroes. Abraham is listed in the Hall of Faith. He's one of the heroes of faith. And yet, we read of an instance when he was so frightened and so selfish and so afraid for his own life that he was ready to basically, through a lie, pimp his wife out to a heathen king in order to spare his own hide. He lied and said, "Oh no, this beautiful girl, no, she's not my wife, she's my sister. No, you can have her." And the king took her and would have committed sin with her if God had not stepped in. And this was a moment of weakness in Abraham's life. And Noah is listed in this list of the Hall of Faith. And we read that after Noah got off the boat, he planted a vineyard and allowed the grape juice to ferment and became drunken. And in his drunken stupor, one of his sons uncovered his nakedness. And the Bible says that his other two sons, they grabbed the blanket and they walked backwards, one holding the blanket this way and the other one holding the blanket this way. And they walked in and covered their father up so that they would not see his nakedness. And the Bible says that when Noah woke up and realized what one of his sons had done to him, and the scripture goes on to explain his reaction to that. And that's one of those questions that Brother T.F. Tenney, in his great study of the Word of God, has decided to leave in the hands of God. What in the world did that mean, that his son uncovered his nakedness? The possibilities range all the way from simply he looked at his father to perhaps even involving some sexual sin. But all of these men, you look back and you look at the Apostle Peter, after having spent all those weeks and months, even years, with the Lord Jesus Christ in training to be an apostle, when the moment came for him to fulfill the role that he was expected to play as being a patient disciple and follower who was tolerating the crucifixion that his Lord had prophesied and had predicted, he, instead of being faithful during that time, he first reacted in a way that was as though he thought he was going to fight physically and hurt and kill people physically to prevent the crucifixion that his Lord had predicted and had said must happen, had to happen. And Brother Billy Cole has often said that when he cut off Malchus's ear, he was not aiming for his ear. When the apostle, he was not an apostle yet, he was an apostle in training. But when Peter grabbed up that sword to defend his Lord against those soldiers, he wasn't aiming for that man's ear. And the words of Brother Billy Cole, he meant to part his skull in two, just like you'd part your hair. He meant to cleave his head open like a melon, and he missed. And the Lord's response was not, "Well, you missed, hit him again." The Lord's response was to say, "Stop it, Peter." And he reached down and picked up the bloody ear and reattached it through a miracle. And at that moment, in shame, Peter realized, "My Lord really, really does not mean for me to fight physically and hurt and kill people on his behalf." And then isn't this the response of a typical man? If the response calls for brute force, I'm your guy. But if you're wanting some response other than brute force, I don't have any clue what to do. So just call somebody else. And he fled. And we see then that he is in confusion and desperation. He's standing there outside the courtroom wondering what in the world is happening. And he was so blinded by his own misconceptions about what was to take place. And no matter how many times Jesus, you know, knocked on the noggin of their heart and said, "I have to die first before anything can happen," no matter how many times he predicted his crucifixion and told them it had to happen, they still didn't get it. His disciples still thought that he was going to lead a rebellion against Rome, a military, you know, rebellion, and see Israel ensconced in political autonomy and sovereignty. And all of those scriptures about the millennial kingdom, they just had it in their brains that Jesus was going to usher that kingdom in through a rebellion that was going to militarily and by brute force quash the Roman dominance over that region. And they just couldn't seem to get it in their heads what he was telling them. Jesus told them and told them and told them. And I believe this is why that the scripture says, there's one scripture in the book of Luke that indicates that after Jesus' death, after his burial, and after his resurrection, he spent many days with his disciples. And the scripture says in Luke, He opened their understanding. How is it that they could spend 3.5 years with Jesus and still need their understanding opened? It's because it was 3.5 years of them learning what they could learn, but they were not capable of absorbing everything they needed to know. They had so much learned wrong that had to be unlearned before they could learn right. And so we see Peter standing here in this courtyard, still full of so much wrong concept, that in the face of this court, which is leading to the death of his Lord, he is so confused that he's saying, hey, if he's not the military leader of rebellion that I thought he was going to be, and don't think that I'm trying to say that he didn't view Jesus as a spiritual Messiah. You have to understand that in the Jewish mindset, military leader of rebellion and spiritual Messiah were one and the same office. He absolutely believed Jesus was the spiritual Messiah that he worshipped him to be. And he absolutely, of a course of his indoctrination, absolutely believed that that meant Jesus had to be the supreme charismatic influencer that would amalgamate all the Jewish factions into one powerful rebellion against Rome. And when he's standing here realizing that everything that he believes about Jesus is just crumbling in front of his very eyes, that his response is, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what I can do. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know what Jesus is. I know what I thought he was, and obviously it's not going that direction. And here again, just as we see Abraham willing to sell out his wife to a heathen king to spare his own skin, now we see Peter willing to sell out his apostleship and his ministry to save his own hide in that courtyard around that fire when someone says, hey, weren't you one of his followers? No. Yeah, I saw you with him. No, no, you didn't. Not me. Yeah, listen to your accent. Yeah, you're one of the... Yeah, you came down here from Galilee. You're one of that bunch. And he cursed. Blankety blank blank. No. And then the rooster crowed. And he remembered what Jesus had told him. And yet the Apostle Peter is one of the two top leaders of the first century church, and eclipsed only by the ministry of the Apostle Paul. The ministry of the Apostle Peter was one of the leading ministries of the first century church. And at Brother Cole's funeral, Brother T.F. Tenney talked about Noah's sin, and yet Noah was heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And he talked about Abraham's sin, and yet Abraham is the father of the faithful, and he is the human that God used to open up what we today refer to as the covenant of faith. And the Apostle Peter's sin, and yet what a great minister of faith the Apostle Peter was. And Brother Tenney's point was twofold. One, those of you who received the blunt end of Brother Billy Cole's humanity, of the which I am chief, don't get disillusioned in thinking that that means that he can't be the man of faith that you know him to be. And the second part of that is that we are all the recipient of the blunt end of our own humanity. And if you're not careful, you'll fall into a trap of thinking that that means that God can't possibly save you and God can't possibly use you. And the historical record, when you look at Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, you see a long list, a litany, if you will, of imperfect, pert-near dysfunctional, at times horrendously sinful people. They have one thing in common. It wasn't that they were stellar in their lifestyle. It wasn't that they were exemplary in their record. It wasn't that they had no bad marks. In fact, in some cases, they were felons. King David is listed in the bloodline of Jesus Christ, and yet he was an adulterer and a fornicator and a murderer. Our brains don't want to reconcile that. And your flesh will beat your spirit man to death with the mistakes that you have made and are making. And the devil will beat you to death with the mistakes that you have made and are making in your flesh. And I'm not trying to excuse sin
And I'm definitely not trying to say that your sins won't cost you something. Look at the reprimand that Abraham received for what he did. Look at the pain and the woe and the agony that David suffered for the mistakes and the sins that he committed. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. And all of us that have weaknesses, those weaknesses are going to result in a damage that is a reciprocation that we receive. God is not mocked, and whatever we sow, that we're going to reap. But in the midst of the devil beating you up over your weaknesses and your human frailties, and in the midst of your own flesh and your own ego and your own pride or lack thereof, self-esteem, beating you up for your own inconsistencies and weaknesses, remember, all of these great people were frail human people that made mistakes, and in the midst of their mistakes, the one thing they all had in common was definitely not their stellar record. It was definitely not their exemplary self-control, their exemplary self-discipline. It was definitely not that they had never committed big sins. In fact, the second thing that we could say they had in common was their frailness and the big sins they committed. But the first thing they had in common was they believed God. And you may say, I've made so many mistakes. What could God possibly do in my life? Do you believe God? And if you believe God, I have an interesting message for you. In spite of your weaknesses, and not because of, but in spite of the sins that you've committed, God can and will do something great in your life if you will obey Him. If you believe God. Now, in your character study of Noah, one of the things hopefully that has been pointed out is that Noah did not deserve the blueprint for the ark because he had lived so wonderfully. Now, I believe prior to his drunkenness afterward and prior to that whole uncovering of the nakedness thing, which Brother Tenney says, I leave that to God. I don't know what that means. I'll just leave that to God. But prior to that, I believe that he lived a life that was righteous, relatively speaking, compared to the horrendous sin that was around him. But honestly, folks, you wouldn't have had to live very righteous to be a shining example. When the world was so terrible that God has said, I am so sick of your sin that I am going to wipe the earth clean of humanity. I am so disgusted with what you are doing, I am going to destroy humanity off the face of the earth. Folks, it had to be awful bad for God to say that. And we've taught lessons earlier about some of the terrible, wicked things that men were doing. Men were giving their daughters over to be abused by other men because they were planning on abusing some other man's daughter. And it was a place that, of such horrendous wickedness that God said, I am sick of humanity. It repents me that I made humanity. I'm going to wipe this earth clean and start again. And in the midst of that, you wouldn't have had to live a very righteous life to be righteous by comparison. But I'm going to tell you that even though I believe Noah lived righteous by comparison, he still did not live righteous enough to earn the blueprints for the boat. The Bible does not say Noah was so righteous that God said, I will spare you. The Bible says Noah found grace. Grace means the unearned favor of God. Okay? Now put simply, mercy means you deserve punishment, but I'm going to withhold the punishment that you deserve. Grace means you don't deserve this blessing, but I'm going to give you this blessing that you have not earned. Now, Noah, the Bible calls him in one place a preacher of righteousness. And can I tell you that God wants us to be preachers of righteousness? And can I tell you that in most cases, a preacher of righteousness is one who knows we ought to be righteous, believes that God wants us to be righteous, and is preaching that we ought to be righteous, and is within himself trying to be righteous as much as he can. And yet still, perhaps in very gross and very extreme ways, falling short of righteousness. And the Bible says that even when we get close to getting it right, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags in His sight. And this leads us into the writings of the Apostle Paul. Now, I can't tell you anywhere that the Apostle Paul tried to cleave anybody's head in two like a melon. I can tell you some pretty nasty, venomous attacks against the church that he conducted before he was converted, which what Peter did in that garden, trying to cut Malchus's head in two, that was before he received the Holy Ghost. There was one place where Jesus said to Peter, "The devil has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you." And when you are converted, now you may say, well, Peter had already forsaken all to follow Jesus. What is this when you're converted stuff? Isn't he already converted? Not yet. At Pentecost, when he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, Jesus says to a man who has already forsaken all to follow him, who has already declared Jesus to be the Lord and Savior, he says to this man, when you finally get converted, then strengthen the brethren. But, you know, I can't really point to as terrible kinds of mistakes that the Apostle Paul made in comparison to these others. But I can show you where the Apostle Paul wrote things to the churches in which he said things like this: death is in me. Sin is in me. In my members is sin and death. It's at work in me. And when I want to do the right thing, I don't do it. I can't do it. And the wrong thing that I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing. What honesty. I mean, how many of us are that honest? You know? The truth is, we're like that. But we don't want to admit it to anybody. But the Apostle Paul laid bare his weakness in order to use honesty as a platform to teach us something. And the Bible says it over and over again. The righteousness which comes by faith, the righteousness which is by faith. And we so easily fall into the trap of thinking that righteousness comes by having a perfect record. Righteousness comes by living right. And the Bible, over and over again, is slapping us in the face and saying, no, you're not listening. Yes, I want you to live right, but that's not how you get righteousness. He that comes to God must believe that He is. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Noah didn't get the blueprint by living right. He got the blueprint because he had faith. He believed God. Abraham isn't the father of the faithful and the father of the Jewish nation because he lived so right. Abraham has that office, that distinction, that title, because he believed God. There is a righteousness that we did not earn and don't deserve, but God will attribute it to our account as though we did earn it and deserve it on one basis only. It's not your track record. It's not that you never made a mistake. It's not that you're not going to make a mistake. It's on one thing only, faith. And when you read, the writer of Hebrews went powerfully into a discourse in which he showed that God had a covenant of faith. And the covenant of faith preceded the covenant of the law that was given to Moses. See, Moses was a descendant of Abraham. And Abraham's covenant of faith came hundreds of years. Centuries, in fact, over four centuries. The covenant of faith with Abraham came hundreds of years before the covenant of the law that was given to Moses.
Well, that's all the time we have for now, and so until next week, we encourage you to go with God. Don't forget to check out BillyColeBook.com. Do it today.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.